Now, I'll give you an example of this. When I was, I don't know how old I was, maybe 4 or 5 years old, my parents waited until I was old enough to remember the first time I tasted ice cream. And went to York, Nebraska, and I remember, you know, the cone was coming out from the little, you know, window there, and I touched it to my tongue, and it burnt me. You ever touch something that's cold, and you never touched it, you know, you can blindfold people and tell them, you're going to touch them with something hot and put an ice cube on them, and the brain will tell you it's hot. And so I didn't know. And I touched it to my tongue, and I thought my parents had taken something like a cigarette lighter and touched it to my tongue, and I felt total betrayal. Totally betrayed by my parents. How could my parents hate me, you know? And so I was moving away, fleeing, getting it. I couldn't run from it. I was moving it away from me. And then the dopamine kicked in and says, wait a minute, that's some good stuff. So this got here just a microsecond before this one got here. And if my twin sister had been grabbing for the ice cream, we'd have had a fight. Because it was mine now. Why I'm sharing this is, you don't know it's pleasurable until it gets to your brain, but your body has already decided it's pleasurable. See, do you realize that the two-year-old is chasing dopamine? Let me explain this a little further. When in your brain there are neurons, 10 billion of them, so you don't worry about running out of room, and they are connected, some of these neurons will have upwards of 10,000 dendrites, like a tree. And they're connecting with all these other neurons. And so every time that you have an experience that's recorded, it is recorded in this little dendrite connection. They don't know exactly whether it's in the synapses or, you know, what it, but everything, your brain is like a holograph. This information is being stored all across your brain, so you can get part of your brain damaged and you can retain a lot of the information on the other side of the brain in the gray matter. Well, whenever you're learning something new, a dendrite, like a computer chip, is restoring that. And the first time it's being learned, things like endorphins, they call them opiates. We actually produce opiates. They know that if you go out and run for 45 minutes, if you're in good health, that it's equivalent to taking a shot of cocaine. The endorphins that are secreted in the brain. And so when you're learning, it's actually a pleasurable thing. It's sometimes, now here's the key, is have you ever had to memorize something? It's like going down the road. The first time you go down the road, wow, endorphins, dopamine. But then you go down that road 100 times. See, when you have to start imprinting permanent, hard, long-lasting information, and you go over and over and over, it gets boring. You notice that? It gets no dopamine. I don't know about you, but when I memorize scripture, I got to read the verse 3, 4, 7, 12, 20 times. Because there's one word that escapes me, and I go over and over and over until I get them all. Because I can't leave out anyone. They've got to have them all. And so that's what traditional education was all about, getting yourself under control. Because self loves dopamine. You notice that? Two-year-olds chasing dopamine. You give them a little piece of paper, you know, you got some work to do, and, you know, they're drawing a little bit, dopamine's flowing, that's all they're doing. They're, you know, the child who plays with a toy isn't in love with the toy, they're in love with the dopamine the toy is stimulating. Can you grab this? Do you understand? And so we are, this is what our body naturally, we're drawn away by the lust of the flesh. Internally, you cannot not do this. And so the two-year-old, you give them a little piece of paper, they do a little drawing, dopamine's flowing, and after a while they run out of space or they start going over the same lines. They don't last very long. When you ask them to repeat stuff, you know, they don't last long. And so they look for the wall. They go, wow, big piece of paper, you know. And they're heading for the wall for more dopamine. And you, the parent, come along and say, what? Cannot, must not, thou shalt not. So you're teaching them can to, cannot, can to, cannot, can to, cannot. And you're teaching them to get control over themselves, because if they don't do it, see, you will do it for them. And so you're teaching them that they had better intercept their flesh and get control of this dopamine before you get a hold of them, their flesh, and get control of the dopamine. And so what traditional parents do is they practice withdrawal on their kids. Because the environment stimulates dopamine. You walk in the room, there are people you see, and the dopamine's flowing. There's nothing you can do about it other than accept or reject it. And so you notice when Eve in the garden, she's walking through the garden. God has told Adam not to eat a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan approaches, and he throws a sentence structure, Genesis 3:1, says, "Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden." Now, that is the most powerful sentence structure in hypnosis. It's known as neurolinguistics. In the Hebrew, they don't know whether to end with a period or question. And what he's doing is he's using a sentence structure that will sensitize her to the environment down here. Something in the environment is going to become the focal point. Not what God says, but what the environment says. Gets her to attend. These books talk about attending. Get them to attend to the environment. You heard about the environmental issues? Get you to focus on the world around you. And so it's like, I wonder whether you know where your knee is. Your conscious mind picks up. I'm just thinking with my mouth open. I wonder whether it's going to rain. I wonder this. But in this time, I choose a body part. Your subconscious mind, the feeling part of you, picks up. You know where your knee is. It's a statement. You go, well, yeah, I know where my knee is. And you start to look at your knee, but your conscious mind kicks in and says, no, he didn't ask you to look at your knee. He's just thinking with his mouth open. Well, it is my knee. I can look at my knee. Cannot, can too. You're minding your own business. I produce the two-headed monster. One of them going this way, and the other one's going this way. One's going for feelings. The other one's going for knowing. Well, you don't like that tension. It's called cognitive dissonance. And so the language of the nerves kicks in. See, up in here for your brain and this, and all of a sudden you find yourself feeling your knee while you're looking at me. But I just sensitize you to the environment that's exactly what Satan did with Eve. And when I have UN officials come to meetings, they're saying we're trained in neurolinguistics, we're trained to use these methods to turn people from this way of thinking to this way of thinking. To human relationship. Everything becomes social. Everything spiritual is tied to the social. And then Eve responds with an opinion. She didn't quote text like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written three times. She goes, for God has said, no, we can eat of all the trees in the garden, but God has said, thou shalt not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, nor touch it, lest ye die. And we know right away which focus she has. Touch. Touch. Your parents ever make cookies and then put them in a clear jar and set them on the table and say you can't have one? You know, if you see the child standing and staring at the cookies, there's problem. There's trouble a brew. And so here, what does God do with that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Sticks it smack dab in the middle of the garden. Now, why didn't you put it over in the closet somewhere? You know, buying three or four other trees. You had to sort of, you know, dig down through the trees to find it. Oh, it's right there, by the tree of life. Because every time that Eve came by it, she wanted to touch it. Something in the environment triggered dopamine. And so Satan had to get her sensitized. This is sensitivity training. All the federal agents are going through sensitivity training, the very same procedure that Satan took Eve through in the garden. Isn't that wonderful? And then what happens after that, she says, nor touch it, and then she says, lest he die. God says, not, cannot. Well, with a cannot, you either can or you can't. We don't like those options. The parent says, you can't go out. Now, your friends come up, and they say, let's go down to the park, and you know that's a big dopamine moment, you know. And you want to go have, you know, you can feel it flowing, you know. And then the parent, you're heading to the door, and the parent says, no, you can't go out. And that quote scripture. You know, for God has said, if you obey me, you're blessed, and you disobey me, you're cursed. And you go, oh, sir, some blessing. I want the dopamine. You're going to remove the dopamine? Yeah. What does God do in here? What did God do with his prophets? What did God do with Moses? Tell him, oh, I want you to worship me in Egypt with all the dopamine around, the leeks and the melons. No, he sent him into the desert. And Moses had some problem with folks out there who wanted the leeks and the melons and the dopamine. So he had the flesh in control. And all but two died. Their carcasses fell out there because they chased the dopamine. They hadn't learned to get themselves under control by God. And so getting back, so what do? We don't like the knot. Every one of us have done this with our parents. You can't go out and we would say, why? Why isn't, why do the birds fly? Well, because they have wings. Well, why? Because God designed. Why? You know, those might be actually honest whys. The child wants to know. But we learn after a while, we can go, instead of crying because we can't have our way, we go, why? Because if we can get our parents into dialogue, the words are important. They've redefined words. Okay. Now, when my son disobeyed, I would say, son, come here. We're going to discuss your behavior. I never stepped out of my office. Discussing. Come, let us reason together. God doesn't step out of his office. And that word reasoning, by the way, means chastening. See, and chastening means you're the one who says not, and so there's right and wrong, and you're the one who chastens because you're teaching whoever's under your authority, there is right and there is wrong. And so in discussing, I would say, son, come here, we're going to discuss your behavior, and we're going to either discuss whether it was right or it was wrong, and here, and I'm the one who sets the standards. But dialogue, we're equal. And so when the children ask the parents, now I'm not sharing this so that you can all go, oh man, don't tell my parents this. It's that when you're parents, you'll understand what you're facing. Because the children want their way. The Bible says that there will come a time of oppression and the children will rule. See, the women and the children will rule. And they'll destroy them. And we've gone to this matriarchal, now we're moving to heresiarchal society. Why? And you know how the parents stopped the dialogue? They all hated to hear this. There's a 21-foot steel door that shuts and you can hear the pins connected. Click, click, click. Because I said so. Which means that you are trying to justify relationship for the dopamine. Remember, the environment stimulates dopamine, so the child wants to play with the toy that stimulates the dopamine. So his desire, you know, give your child a toy before supper, and he's playing with a toy, getting the dopamine rush. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. God's not against pleasure. But when the parent says, come to the dinner table, and the child's still playing with a toy, then we're going to have a practice of withdrawal. We're going to get the kid off the dopamine and teach him self-control. Now we have what, by the way? Self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from group esteem. Self-esteem comes from the environment stimulating dopamine. So you feel good about yourself because everybody, and this is powerful because has anybody ever complimented you? Isn't that a dopamine moment? You bet. And we love it, we crave it. And when you're speaking the truth and you're getting put down, boy, your body is just waiting for somebody to come in the room and say, hey, I like you. I really appreciate you. Whoa, thank you. Well, that was a fix. That'll last a week. And so we crave this approval, especially the further we go into this. I'm sharing this with you because we're going into a time where there will be persecution. And you're going to be alone. And you're going to speak the truth and nobody's listening, and you're going to feel so abandoned that you're just looking for somebody to come into the room to trust so you can be deceived. Now, if when the Lord sends somebody in, they're speaking the truth, then you're not deceived. So you weigh take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Obedience of Christ. It doesn't say take every thought captive to Christ. The obedience, because Jesus said, what my Father tells me, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. John 17, Jesus, those disciples are not his disciples. They're the Father's disciples. Everything that Jesus had was given to him by the Father. Everything in the gospel is about the Father. Jesus came in obedience to the Father. He's the only one who was obedient to the Father and didn't live by dopamine. I'm sure he had dopamine. Looked at the creation and say, oh, isn't that beautiful? God, we did, you know, Father, we did a wonderful job. So God's not against you having pleasure. He's not against you enjoying this creation. It's when you love it, the love of pleasure. You know what money is? It's stored up dopamine. Isn't that true? I mean, do you take a vacation for pain? No, you take a vacation so you can see sunsets, dopamine, eat good food, dopamine. And then you come back and show your pictures to others and they say, oh, that was a wonderful trip, and get some dopamine again. You're doing your homework. See, boring, right? It gets real boring and you start what? Daydreaming. You ever daydream while you're doing your homework? And what you're doing is you create this little world because you need the dopamine. And so you create this illusionary environment, and you get the, actually, if you could see it physically, you got the little spigot going, and the dopamine is getting secreted. And then the parent comes along and says, "I'll do your homework." Oh, okay. Get off the drug. We got a whole, you try to talk people off a drug today. You share the truth with people today and they glaze over. You know why people glaze over? Because if you're not offering them the drug of dopamine, they're not worth listening to. They're not going to listen to the Lord. Because Jesus said you have to deny yourself. No dopamine. At least limited. Pick up your cross. Oh, that'll take care of the dopamine. It's like changing diapers. Not a dopamine moment. Jesus despised the shame of the cross. See, shaming is a people thing. You know what shaming is? We don't like you. We don't want you. See, he despised that, but he endured. See, he endured. He continued to hold to position, looking forward to the joy that I had. Joy is spiritual. You, by the way, we're not to seek after joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. They're a byproduct of Christ. We seek Christ, not the byproduct. We don't seek unity. See, Jesus, where Jesus said, two or three are gathered in my name. The byproduct is unity. The byproduct is a relationship. Our relationship with one another is a byproduct of you and me seeking the Lord. That's the true koinonia. That's the true fellowship. Yeah. So we run into this, and when we cannot talk this way anymore because God refuses to change, then we talk to ourselves and we go, ought. Ought to be. The ought is our dopamine. You know, I ought to be able to go out. Oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. Every facilitated meeting, total quality management in the workplace, total quality leadership for the Navy, HMO for the doctors, school to work for your elected officials, outcome-based education for education, church growth, emerging church, all the cell groups, all the get-together is all about getting everybody to share their oughta bees. Homeschool students are dropping like flies in college. His parents send him off to college, and halfway through the semester, they're coming back flaming Marxists because the dorms are full of ought-to-bes. Say, I ought to be able to do this. Weren't you ever allowed to do this? No, I wasn't. Man, I should. I ought to. Anytime you're told you can't do something you want to do, anytime the environment stimulates dopamine, you know, it's flowing, the environment stimulates it, you're aiming that way, and then you're told you cannot do it. And once you cannot do it, and because I said so, then you talk to yourself and the language is ought to be. You can't have an ought to sentence without a thou shalt not that interfere with your dopamine. Can't have it. You'll go nuts. Try it. And if I can get you to share, you, by the way, have ought to be's against parents, ought to be's against God, ought to be's against the law of the land. We all have our ought to be's. And if I can get you to share, if I can get you to share, you ought to be here tonight, because that's the group grade in the classroom. Yeah. Have you ever been told you couldn't do something you wanted to do? Yeah, I have. Man, I thought I should be able to go out and my parents wouldn't let me go out. By the way, Dad and Mom are perfect. My children remind me of that. And their children remind them of that. And I didn't remind my parents of that because I wouldn't cross that line. We're not perfect. Dad and Mom isn't perfect, but the office is. Satan knows that. And if you destroy the office, see, honor your father and mother. The first commandment with a promise is a promise that all will go well with you. We don't have a very healthy society today. So the oughts is a language of rebellion. That facilitated meetings, dialoguing to consensus, is all about. The whole facilitating meeting is to get you to share your ought to be's. So that's what Satan does. He comes to Eve. He gets her to share her touch. I ought to be able to touch it. I ought to, see, the ought comes out. And then she says, not, lest she die. Okay? Can't touch it. Why? Well, because I'll die. And then Satan says, the antithesis. What's he say? You won't die. So remember, God's the author. This is the author, but he's the authority as well. He's the because I said so. You know, and the child disobeys, and the parent grabs him and says, the child says, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to spank you. Well, because I said so. So this is force. This is the law spoken. Law has no power. It's the force. George Washington was asked, what's government? One word, force. See? And so God has, he's the author of government. All authority is of God. And so there is force. And so Eve reminds herself of the not, but she'd already shared the ought. So here, listen to the language. Satan says, you won't die. And if Eve hadn't shared her ought, she would have said, will too, will not, will too, will not, will too. And we would stop right here. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Contrast. But she shared her ought, and once you share your ought, you are free from the parent's voice. You're free from God's voice. You're free from any voice outside the creation. Now you're bound to the creation. And that's us. Without God's mercy, I have no hope. Because this, God calls me a child till the day I die. Every day I get up, I grab crayons and head to walls. See, so the first thing I have to say in the morning is, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it. You can't. None of us can do it. And by the way, you know what God says? Good. Now you know. You can't do it. That's why Jesus said, I go to the Father. And the Father, see, everything's from the Father. He'll send the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit today at the end of the day. If you had a lying habit, you lie. At the end of the day, you say, man, I didn't lie. It's not you. It's Christ in you. And so the odds are death. There are joy. See, our flesh, not joy. I call it the passion juice of the flesh. We're drawn away because of this. David saw Bathsheba, and he had a dopamine moment. Nothing, he couldn't help that, by the way. He couldn't help that other than he was where he shouldn't have been because he should have been with his troops, because every king was out with his troops in the early part of the year. He was home, and temptation came. We are tempted, but he was wrong because he didn't take control of it. He should have let. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. Flee the dopamine. Get out of there. Because if you stay there, your head will go. You'll lean to your own understanding, and you'll chase the drug. See? So look at TV. Everything around marketing is dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. So saturated, our society. Where do you go to get away? We have some friends at home school, and the dad is always asked, what about your children's social life? As though we're raising our children to be communists. That's what we say. You know what his answer is? Well, that really is a problem. But we're trying to keep them away from as many people as possible. Because the whole world is on a drug. The environment, it's called environment control, climate control. If I can create an environment, I'll get the odds coming out. That's all Satan did. Nor touch it. Then lest ye die. He says, oh, ye won't die. For God doth know, this is powerful, God doth know makes him equal with God. I, as a teacher, had learned how to get your child in my classroom. And then we will talk about issues that dad and mom would not approve of. And your child will say, well, you know, my parents said we shouldn't do that. Well, have you ever wanted to? Well, yeah, I thought times out, you know, I ought to be able to do it. Well, see, your parents paid tax dollars, and so I'm here. I'm in their position. They authorized me, and so I'm going to deliver you from their authority. I won't tell the kids that, but that's what I'm doing. That was my training. And then the outcome then is once they... you know, for God doth know that they you eat thereof, you will become like him. This is Bloom's last stage, highest stage is evaluation. Evaluation. I'll give you what all the teachers have to go through. You start with knowing. You go to comprehend. Then you go to analysis. And then, let's see. Okay, excuse me, application. Analysis, synthesis, and evaluation. By the way, these are the steps that Satan took Eve through in the garden. Knowing. Now, let's go only to here. Let's do the traditional home. Knowing. You can't go out. Comprehending. What that is, a parent looks you in the face. Do you understand what I just said? Now, do you understand why you can't go out? Not necessarily. You understand that if you go out, you'll be punished. If you stay in, you'll be blessed. That's the comprehending. And then the application is you decide to go out. And the analysis is as you're going to the woodshed, you're going, maybe it was not a very smart thing on my part not to attend to the knowing. And so you're being brought, chastening brings you back to you. There's right and wrong. But Bloom says synthesis. Synthesis means we must practice unrighteousness. You must role play the other side. And so when Satan, the oddity is the other side. Do you understand that? The oddities we all have within us is the death to our soul. Paul says, there is, you know, with my mind, I love the law of God. There's cognitive. But then he says, there's the law of the flesh. And then what does he say? Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I carry a body of death. And his answer is Jesus Christ. Apart from him, we cannot have any control over this flesh. It will control us. Look at what God told Cain. He said, sin lies at the door. Interesting. What does he say? And you will rule over it. What does that mean? You will rule over sin. The environment controls the pleasure which you crave after, and so you control the environment that always produces the pleasure. That's what the Marxists understood. Walmart, see, we look at these. I call Walmart a communist Chinese outlet store. You can go to these stores and they'll satisfy your needs, and we got rid of mom and pop business down there in the downtown. Jerome Bruner, a Marxist, he actually in the 50s wrote books about the destruction of the traditional home through the stores. When my parents took me to a little country store, and the clerk, I remember the clerk, took some candy and turned to my dad and said, can I give your son this candy? You're right. See, it was top down. He didn't intercept. Satan was intercepting the top down system. But he went through the dad to the children. But now, Jerome Bruner said, deliberately in the 50s, they put the candy where the children could grab it. And the child would grab that dopamine, and then the parent would take the dopamine out, and the child would cry, and the village would bring the child, the parent, under control to the child's needs. Deliberately done. See? All of, for 80 years, the whole intent is the destruction of the traditional home. There is nothing else that I read. And I'm on the internet, I'm reading doctoral dissertations, I'm on the Marxist websites, I'm on the UN websites, everything is about the destruction of the traditional home, because Marx said you have to destroy, you have to annihilate, which is a pretty powerful word, isn't it? You have to annihilate. And how you annihilate it? Dialogue. Get dad and mom to dialogue with the children. I'm not against dialogue, I'm just simply saying there is right and wrong and there's no discussion. Especially when it comes from God, there is no discussion. There's discussion, there's no dialogue. Let me put it that way. Well, so here is Bloom. Is the beginning, see, of knowledge is the fear of God. Dad says, you know, by the way, Jesus said, call no man father on earth. So there's an understanding. The earthly father will chasten us for their own pleasure. God says, I chasten you for eternal soul's sake. But it's the same system. And what these guys understood is if you remove that system in the traditional home, the next generation will not understand the other system. Bloom mentions Theodore Adorno, the authoritarian personality that the UN is heavily into. He, I can't quote this statement exactly, but he talks about the parents' obsession with commands that the children cannot understand. See, the parents, you notice that parents give commands to children they can't understand? So if the child can't understand it, they can't dialogue it, right? They just have to obey it. And here's a Marxist who understood that's revelation. You know, it's what, have you ever been, you know, as a child you were told commands that didn't make any sense, and then when you have children of your own, you hear those same words coming out of your mouth, and then all of a sudden you go, now I understand. That's revelation. And so they secularized. They took what is of the Word of God, spiritual, they secularized it, and they say, if we can destroy the secular system, the next generation will not understand the spiritual system. Wicked. Brilliant, but wicked. That's Karl Marx. He says, sense experience, and he has two words, sensuous needs, you need to touch the tree, and sensuous perception. What happens after Satan says you won't die? You'll be like God. You can evaluate. Remember Bloom? Evaluate. When God created the world, what did he do? He evaluated. It is good. It is good. It is good. Spirit, right? Above the creation. Eve looks at the tree. It is good. It is good. It is good. But she saw it's of the flesh. Man is good. He wills to do good. His passions are okay. And so we can use Satan's paradigm in the garden to educate every child in America for the sake of world peace. I call these books Secularized Satanism, Intellectualized Witchcraft. And then we get over to the language here, the heresiarch, is seems to. There's a way that seemeth to be right. This is the language of science. You and I are working on a project. I'll say, well, seems to me it's going to work. And you say, well, I think it is. Look at the power of this. If I say 2 plus 2 equals 4 and cannot be any other number, that's known as a categorical imperative, unquestionable and universal. But if I go in front of it, say, you might say, well, I think it's 5 or 7 or some other number, and I like you, and after a while, you're insisting you're right and I'm wrong, and I, for the sake of the relationship, I will say, I think 2 plus 2 equals 4. What did I just do to it? I relativized it. I made an opinion. See, if you're an I feel and I think person, I hope you're miserable tomorrow. Because God wants you to be a knower. They didn't kill Christians in the Soviet system. They didn't kill Christians who said, well, I think God meant this and he meant. Oh, they didn't kill Christians with opinions like Eve. They killed believers. Believers who came in and said, thus saith the Lord, it is written. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. See, that brings conviction. The Holy Spirit works with the text. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with your opinion of the text. So that's the power of this thing in the church. We've got, what, in the school system, 30 million kids coming out on this dopamine craving system. Deciding what to do with mom and dad. Do with the next generation. Why do you have an abortion? Abortion is that, you know, the child is not a dopamine moment. Get rid of the child. Why? You can get some dopamine with your friends and have the quote-unquote good life. That's what abortion. Euthanasia. Dad and mom have money stored up. Dopamine stored up, you know, stored up pleasure. And they're on a machine in the hospital. Just pull a plug and take the money and run. That'll make you feel good, doesn't it? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it's amazing, Genesis 3, 1 through 4 is the whole system, and who studied it? Was it our ministers, so we would not be deceived? No, it was the Marxists, Walter Benjamin and others, who studied scriptures to find systems that Satan used to deliver man from God. See, the men that Bloom refers to for the sake of world peace. And we've gone to this foolishness. There's a way that seemeth to be right. It's a path of death. It's a broad path. So that's where we are. We are now surrounded by a whole village that's chasing after pleasure. And redefine the Word of God based on pleasure. Secularize the Word of God. And that's what you'll find, purpose-driven life. You know, Rick Warren's purpose-driven life. He has a doctorate from Fuller. Spent half a year writing that book. There isn't anything in that book that he didn't know, intend. He uses the Message Bible, which is a dialectical Bible, which is a Gnostic Bible. And where in the King James it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a contrast. In other words, we are to do what God expects in heaven, we're to do here on earth. But he uses the Message Bible, as above, so below. Sounds the same, doesn't it? As above, so below. That's a verse from the Satanist Bible. That's a famous verse from the Satanist Bible that every Christian in this nation sitting in a Bible study in some church doing church growth reads and accepts because they're following a man, the opinion of men. And you go in and you question it, you're going to be called divisive and hateful and negative, you know, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, lower thinker. All kinds of terms convince you that you need counseling. So this is not new. The New Age is not new. It all goes back to the six verses. And see, Marx says sensuous needs and then sensuous perception. Eve saw tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasing the eyes, lust of the eyes, and desires to make one wise. the pride of life. All this of the world, you want to build world unity? That's your platform. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The only way we can get there is to negate God's word. It's not a disobedience to God. You have to understand, when Eve was looking at the tree, God, there's nothing wrong with this tree. And she's right. Satan said they would not die. Did Adam and Eve physically die because of the tree? Did Adam and Eve die physically because, did the tree physically kill them? Can you tell me? No, it didn't. She was right. It's good for food. All the trees are good for food. There was nothing physically wrong with the tree. They died because they disobeyed. Their observation physically of the tree was correct. That wasn't the issue. The issue is obey God. You might not have had any problem going out and playing with your friends. That's not the issue. Dad said, don't go out. There's nothing wrong with the cookies. Mom said, don't eat them. And every one of us can justify, there's nothing wrong with the cookies. And if we justify this over here, we negate this over here. And Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowing because you refuse to recognize me and my law. This paradigm. What's the next verse? I refuse to recognize your children. So we as a nation